Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mole ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
What is up, AOPT Nation? Thanks so much for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate it. Hope you're having an awesome day, whatever you're up to today. This is episode number 193 of the Art of Paid Traffic podcast, and I'm your host, Rick Mulready, and I'm here to simplify online marketing strategies for you so that you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business, because that's what it's all about, right? I'm really excited about today's show, guys. On today's show, I'm joined by my friend, Craig Ballantyne. And Craig has been one of my, he's one of my original mentors as I started following him and his work way back in 2010. In like internet years, that's, it's like dog years, right? That's 8.5 years ago. That seems like forever in the online world. But that's when I was trying to figure out, back when I was trying to figure things out, you know, about this whole world of online business. I went to a couple of Craig's in-person workshops and I followed him ever since. And I've connected more with him over the past couple of years. We kind of stayed in touch here and there, but I really connected with him more over the past couple of years. And especially, the past several months, we chat on Instagram DM, pretty frequently. You know, I keep tabs on what he's doing and he's doing the same thing, with me. Now, Craig used to be in the fitness space with his brand Turbulence Training. And that's really when I first learned about him. And then he started a brand called Internet Independence. And he was doing that along with his Turbulence Training brand. And he had the Internet Independence. He had that for a while and has since gone through a real big shift in his business, because he's now the owner of a website called Early to Rise. Maybe you've heard of it, earlytorise.com. And most recently, as publisher of Early to Rise, he's published a book called The Perfect Day Formula, where he teaches people how to have a more productive day, both on the business side and on the personal side of your life. And this is really where Craig's mission comes into play right now. And I asked Craig to come onto the show because as part of his Perfect Day formula business, as we'll call it, he does these in-person, what he calls perfect day workshops, where you go spend the day with him and then get follow-up accountability and coaching for 12 months after the event. And it's an investment that starts at $5,000, and he sold over $500,000 worth of these workshops using Instagram stories. And within his stories, he uses a specific framework, a very specific framework to sell. And it's this framework that I asked him to come onto the podcast here and talk about today. So we're going to dive into that framework, how he's selling these quote unquote high ticket events through Instagram stories. And since Craig has been such a longtime mentor of mine, I also take this opportunity to ask him to share some other lessons from his entrepreneurial journey, because he's done so many different things. So today we're going to get into a bunch of different things, my friends. We're going to talk about the exact steps that Craig is using to sell over $500,000 worth of live workshops via Instagram stories. We talk about why Craig thinks that Instagram direct messages are the new email list. We talk about tips for having more engaging Instagram stories, how to specifically track the success of your Instagram stories, how to expand your network when you're more of an introvert than an extrovert. We talk about how to overcome anxiety as an entrepreneur and the number one tip for how entrepreneurs can be more productive. We talk about why Craig is doing this interview, as you're going to hear, with his eyes closed, and a whole lot more. We talk about a lot of different things here today. I had such a blast and got a ton out of this conversation here with Craig, and I really hope that you find the same here today. Now, before we get into it with Craig, if you'd like to win a 30-minute strategy session with me, I'd love to hear from you over on Facebook Messenger. All you have to do is give me your feedback on this podcast. And specifically, I'd like to hear what you'd like to see or hear more of. You know, different topics, guests, style of the show, frequency of the show, length of the show, any ideas that you'd like to share with me, I would love to hear them from you. So to share your ideas and feedback, just message me over on Facebook. And I've set up a link that'll direct you right to Facebook Messenger to message me. And that link is rickmulready.com/messenger. Again, it's rickmulready.com/messenger. And when you message me there with your ideas and feedback, I'm going to pick one person at random at the end of each month to win a 30-minute strategy call with me. We can talk about your Facebook ads or, you know, funnels in your business or growing your business, online marketing strategy, building your team, whatever it is that you'd like to talk about, we can cover it in that strategy call. So again, the link to message me is rickmulready.com/messenger. We're looking forward to hearing what your ideas and feedback are. And thanks so much in advance for your feedback. I really appreciate that. So without further ado, let's jump into this wide-ranging conversation. Really good conversation here with my friend Craig Ballantyne. Craig, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Yeah, real good. Rick, this is going to be a lot of fun.
I am so pumped. So there's quite a backstory to how we know one another. And you are one of my very original mentors that I followed. You've been doing this a long time. And back in, I want to say 2010, when I was first sort of introduced to this whole online world, you were one of the people that I started following. So this is 8.5 years ago.
And yeah, isn't that awesome?
I know, it's crazy. You're in the fitness space. And yeah. I think the first time that I met you officially was you did sort of a side event, like a half day sort of workshop at Yannick Silver's event in Washington, D.C. And I think this was like, I don't know, 2010 or 2011.
At the earliest, it would have been 2011 because I didn't buy the business early to rise until then. So I think it was actually 2012 because he did his events in March. So,
okay.
You know, I know it's hard to put the numbers right together, but you know, because that's 6 years ago, but that's when it was. And man, that was that's really great that was the first entry point. And now here we are.
Yeah. And you were doing, I think it's something at that point you were doing something called, in addition to your fitness stuff, you were doing something called Internet Independence. And you were teaching people how to create, you know, an online business. And I think that's what you were teaching at this workshop. And so that was really, like I said, that was really my intro into what you were teaching and following what you're doing and stuff like that. And there's a story I want you to share about, because I went to Denver to go to a workshop with you and Matt Smith, your business partner. And that was early on. That was like 2012, 2013. And so before we kind of get into that, please share what your background is, because you've gone through some really, really cool changes and you've always been up to some big things.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that I was in the fitness space and ended up doing some of the online coaching for a while because I couldn't stop myself. You know, I actually tried to quit the Internet Independence, you know, side thing that I was writing. I was writing like an email every day, just giving out content. I wasn't selling anything for like the first 2 years of it. And it was just something that I literally could not stop myself from doing because I would tell everyone, hey, I'm going to quit this. And then 3 weeks later, I'd be like, I got to write these emails and just tell people what I had been learning and what I had been up to. And that was what, you know, I just really loved that. I loved the same thing in the fitness space. I love, you know, a bit of a nerd. And so I love to sit there and write. And that was what I was doing at that time. But the whole fitness thing started back in 2000 when I had an email newsletter, Rick, and I had 3,000 people on it, but I was sending it out by Hotmail, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
And, you know, if you're sending an email out by Hotmail back in 2000, you could only send it to 50 people at a time.
Right, right.
And yeah, and in order to do that, it took me an hour manually to send my email, my fitness newsletter, to 3,000 people. But that's where I got started. I had no idea what I was doing. And then the very first event that I ever went to was Yannick Silver's in 2007. I had fortunately made some money by then and figured things out and had even had some coaching in the fitness space and the online space to grow my business. And then in 2007, I went to like maybe the third or fourth underground online that Yannick had mm-hmm. and started joined his mastermind group, and then met my business partner, Matt Smith. And we bought this company called Early to Rise in 2011. And then we met you.
Yeah. And we did you did a workshop in Denver that I went to, and I don't remember exactly when that was, but it wasn't too far after the event that you did, the workshop you did in DC at Yannick's event. This was during the time when I was trying to figure things out. I left the corporate world in 2012, and at the end of 2012, and I was fumbling around. I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I want to be an online entrepreneur. Like, well, I had no idea. And whenever I say that, I'm literally using air quotes right now, because I had no idea what it meant to do that. I was learning Facebook ads at that time, and I was managing, you know, some ads for some friends who had online businesses, but I really didn't know what it meant or how to build a business at that time online. And that's when I went to that workshop with you and Matt in Denver. And that was sort of the start of, you know, kind of kicking things off and sort of starting to get my bearings. But I remember at that workshop, I still was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And, you know, he was talking about list building and serving and creating offers and stuff like that. And it was just an interesting experience for me, again, because this was very much, you know, part of my first introduction to this whole world. So I do want to acknowledge you right off the bat for being this mentor to me. Even though at that time, maybe you didn't realize it, but it was always very helpful to watch what you were doing. And, you mentioned all the email writing that you used to do, and you still do. You put out a lot of content. Where does that come from? Where does that habit come from? Where do the ideas come from? How did you get into that whole thing?
Well, you know, I'm a bit of an introverted person. I'm not an introvert, but I have introverted tendencies. And so I don't really talk that much, and I need to get a lot of thoughts out because I am very opinionated. And so writing comes naturally to me, and I love to do it. And so I used to do that all the time in the fitness space and developed a pretty good habit. And I like to joke around and say that my grade 10 keyboarding or my 10th grade keyboarding class was the most important class that I ever took in my entire scholastic career, because it allows me to type very fast. And I just have all these ideas. Like, I have so many half-written articles sitting on even the desktop of my computer, and I just have so much content that is just easy for me to put out. And I could work 24 hours a day and not be done. So I don't, obviously, and I can only really get quality writing done for about 3 or 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. But I have enough work, enough ideas to go forever. And it's just, you know, so that's, everybody's got this talent that they naturally discount, and that's the one for me. You know, I'm not a natural genius like Russell Brunson at Funnels or anything, but when it comes to putting together a massive amount of content, that's my gig.
Yeah, you bring up a good point there, because it's almost like a subtle strategy behind it. What I've always seen from you as far as the email content writing, is it deliberate? Are you just putting out to add value and to build your community, or maybe it's both? Are you leading people to something specific?
It used to be very, very methodical in terms of leading people to something specific, especially in the fitness space. It was pretty aggressive in the marketing. When we took over to Early to Rise, it remained pretty aggressive in the marketing for a while. And now it's less so, because my business has kind of shifted. We got away from the email marketing and monetization for a while. We're just putting out content to build our list and then move people into events that we filled through different ways than email marketing. It was more phone calls, and we'll talk about some of the Instagram stuff that we do.
Yeah.
But now we have some courses that are going to lend themselves a little bit better to the email marketing again. Mm-hmm. So we just got away, like, we just didn't have anything that was doing really great on email marketing, but we wanted to continue putting out early to rise content, because I bought this business from a guy named Mark Ford in 2011. And we basically, Early to Rise has put out a daily essay 3 to 4 times a week for, geez, since 2001. So, you know, you do the math and that's a long time. We wanted to keep that reputation going and that legacy going. So we continue to do it, and we put out stuff that we're very, very proud of every day. And that will, you know, the email marketing and monetization has kind of ebbed and flowed with it. And mm-hmm. now it's, you know, it kind of died down for a bit, but now we're going to get back into it with some of this Instagram course that, you know, social selling stuff that I've kind of stumbled across.
Yeah. Now you keep mentioning Early to Rise. For people who don't know what Early to Rise is, what is it?
It is one of the very first success email newsletters. So again, it was started by this guy named Mark Ford, who, to make things even more confusing, he wrote all of his books under the name Michael Masterson. And, you know, that was his pen name for like 15 years. And then he finally came out of the closet as Mark Ford. That's the only thing he came out of the closet about. He's just, his name is Mark Ford. And so now he runs a different newsletter. He's big in the Agora financial world. He's business partners with Bill Bonner, who runs that. And so, you know, Mark just used a different name for a long time. But anyways, he started it in 2001 because he was basically sending memos to his employees about like how to be more successful and how to be productive. And, you know, here's how to make money and here's how to start a side income. And he's like, OK, I may as well just start putting these on the Internet. And Agora was one of the first newsletter companies to heavily invest in the Internet and really go online with it. So he started this daily email back in 2001. And I found it maybe in 2002 or 2003. And it was a huge influence on me. And then, you know, he wrote all these books and just built up a massive, massive email following. I mean, think at one point, the email newsletter list was 356,000 people, which is, you know, still really big in this day and age. But, you know, I know some people that have bigger email lists, but he was one of the first guys to really push the daily free content. Then they sent out, you know, ads. Well, there was ads in it, but there was a lot of free content, and that really, you know, marked the reputation of the company.
So I love the story, how you became an owner, how you bought Early to Rise. You shared this with your now business partner, Matt Smith. And I'm just kind of going off of what I've heard in the past from you, is that you shared that, you know, Matt was like, what would you really love? And you said that, like, I'd love to own something like Early to Rise. And I'm condensing the story way down, but then I don't know what the time frame was, but a couple of years later, you had the opportunity to become an owner of it. Am I kind of getting that right there?
It's actually even a little bit better, because you go all the way back to 2006, and the very first business coach that I had was a guy named Tom Venuto. It was his very first business coaching client and his only business coaching client. So I'm not sure what that says about me, but he and I did phone coaching. And the very first question on the very first call, he said to me, "Craig, what do you want your business to look like?" And that's when I said, "Tom, I want to have a business like Early to Rise." And he knew it. He was a subscriber, and he was like, "Okay, well, you need to become a better writer. You need to become a better coach, a better business owner, and you need to do all these things." And so I started this journey, and that's when I joined Yonex Mastermind Group. And then a year later, I met this guy, Matt Smith. And then it was actually 2 years later that Matt and I were on one of Yonex Silver's Maverick Business Adventures with Tim Ferriss out in the deserts. And we were shooting guns and driving cars, sometimes at the same time, which was pretty cool. And then it was on the way back, Matt and I were in the Tucson airport, and we just started having a conversation. And he asked me a similar question. He said, "Okay, what do you want the fitness business to grow into?" Because that's what I was doing at the time. And I was also doing a little bit of the internet independent stuff. And I said to him again, it's like, you know, I really like Early to Rise. I like that model. And Early to Rise was helping people build their health, wealth, and their personal selves and family relationships and all this stuff. It's all about a life well lived. So all those four areas of what Mark Ford says, you only need to set four goals in life and at a time, one for your health, one for your wealth, one for your social self, and one for your personal enrichment. And so it basically Early to Rise served those areas. So in 2010, I said that to Matt. A few months later, Matt's at an event with Mark Ford. Mark Ford said, I'm done with Early to Rise. I've said everything I could possibly say. And he had written 2,000 essays for the website. So, you know, wow. It was fair to, yeah, I know. He wrote a lot of stuff. It's such great content, most of which found its way into his books. You know, Ready, Fire, Aim, which is a book that Ryan Dice recommends as one of his top five.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a real great book. And 7 years of Seven Figures and a few others. So Mark Ford, it's like, okay, I'm done. And so Matt sent me a text message that day, which was like in June of 2011. He said, Craig, do you want to buy the business? And I'm like, sure. And so we flew down to Florida and we did a little negotiation with Mark at his cigar bar where he used to drink tequila and smoke cigars. Now he has his own private cigar bar in a garage with fancy cars. And it's a great place to hang out with Mark Ford if you're ever down in Delray Beach. And so we did this little negotiation and I bought the business. So, and it was 5 years, 3 months and 17 days after Tom Venuto asked me, what do you want your business to look like? Yeah. So it's, you know, 3 months and 17 days late. So, you know, hopefully you don't hold that against me, but it's really neat. It's kind of like, you know, cause I'm one of those super skeptical guys and like, you know, the law of attraction, secret stuff, that's, you know, malarkey. But then when you go and have a moment like that, it was powerful. And in my first book, you know, The Perfect Day Formula, I talk about something called the law of action attraction. Mm-hmm. So you don't just sit there in a chair and attract a BMW or checks in the mail or whatever it was from the movie. You have to go out and do stuff, but you need to know what you want. And the more specific you are about what you want, the closer you're going to get to exactly what you want, or sometimes you will get exactly what you want. And there was one moment in that movie, The Secret, that I liked, which was where John Assaraf is describing, you know, how he bought this house that was once on his vision board. And that stuff resonates with me. You know, it's clear on your vision board. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to go and do the things that are going to get me move towards that. So the law of action attraction means when you take action, you will attract people, opportunities into your life so that you can get exactly what you want. And I've been riding that message for a long time, and I've seen a lot of people achieve great things when they've taken me up on it.
Yeah, you mentioned The Perfect Day Formula book there, and I want to kind of shift into that, because this is where you get into, you know, where you're selling your live workshops via Instagram stories and social selling, as you were calling it there. Tell people, you know, so you shifted out of the fitness space. Internet independence was something that, you know, that finished up a while ago. But now, you know, your whole mission here is around this perfect day formula and helping people live better lives, essentially. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's, you know, live better lives, build better businesses. So it's a combination of business coaching and productivity and time management setups and systems and structure so that people can scale their businesses. And, you know, basically helping anybody from who has $250,000 business to one of my clients has a $750 million business. So, you know, quite a range, although most people are around the seven figure mark. And what I help people do is basically do what I did back in 2007 when I got my first coach and I started getting Yannick Silver into his mastermind. The problem was, is I was successful, but I was really scattered and, you know, overwhelmed with opportunity. And, you know, one day I was focusing on one thing and the next day I was focusing on another. I ended up having some anxiety attacks from it and realized I needed more structure in my life, because most people suffer from the paradox of freedom, meaning when they have too many choices, they don't know what choices to make, or they make the wrong choices and they end up in a lot of trouble. For me, I worked too much and I partied too much, so I ended up with the anxiety attacks. And what I did was I realized, okay, I need to put structure in my day in terms of when I'm going to stop working, when I'm going to get up in the morning every single day, what I'm going to do first thing in the morning, how I'm going to be able to avoid email and eventually Facebook and eventually all these other things that came along. And I just built this system that worked really well for me. And then I started coaching people on the phone about it. And my first coaching client for that was like in 2009 or something. And I just kept on doing it and eventually systematized the process and wrote the book. It took a long time to do it, but with the help of Tucker and his crew at Book in a Box, I was able to get that done finally. And we published that in 2015, sold about 25,000 copies now just on our own. You know, it's a self-published book. Mm-hmm. And then it leads people into this Perfect Day Formula Kit, which is like coaching in a box, which is a lot of the expanded materials. And then eventually into these workshops where they spend a day with me and get a year of follow-up coaching. So I just love working with people like you, Rick, and like other high performers who who are, you know, for lack of a better phrase, they're kind of spinning their wheels. And I like to use the analogy of, you know, so many of these business owners come to me and they're like race cars, you know, they're souped up, they're high performers, but their wheels are stuck in the mud. And they're just like, they're a Formula One car or an Indy race car at the Indy 500. And they're, you know, they're not going anywhere because their wheels are stuck in the mud. And I just come along with my systems and I pick them up, put them on the track. And the next thing you know, they're going 200 miles an hour in a straight line like they should be. So It's a lot of focus. It's a lot of saying no. It's a lot of building the systems and then planning out the next 90 days and year so that you reach that vision, which is another component of what we do. We kind of start 30,000 foot view with the vision and values, because your values and your vision drive every decision. And then we work down to, okay, here's exactly what Rick should be doing on a daily basis so that he can reach those big goals and dreams.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this. I love the book, read it a couple times. I'm actually going to get back into it. Was thinking about that recently because, and I want to kind of come back to this subject here because this is something that I completely resonate with, where that sort of that paradox of freedom that you call it, where I have so many things that I could be doing that I do get lost like so many other people in that opportunity. And it really is that whole paradox of like, all right, well, in order to get more freedom, you got to put more structure into it. And that's really what you're teaching in this whole thing. And, you know, I've gone through the kit that you mentioned. It really, really is like you said, coaching in a box, which is really, really effective when you go through it and go through step by step. Now you mentioned the live workshops that you do where people get to come in and spend the day with you. You have been really successful in selling these workshops with Instagram stories. And what I find really interesting is that for a long time, you weren't very active on Instagram. And so
I didn't start Instagram until February of 2017.
Yeah, that's just that's crazy. It's just over a year ago. So number one, what got you being comfortable on Instagram? And then what is this whole formula that is really working for you to sell these live workshops?
Well, I didn't have an iPhone. I didn't have an iPhone until December of 2016. So
that's crazy. You had a BlackBerry.
I still have a BlackBerry, and it's a 2010.
Does it work?
BlackBerry Bold. Yes, it still works, and I still use it. Not for very much because you can't really do anything on it. Right. But I still carry it around just to make some of my friends angry who look at me and say, "Why do you have that?" So I mean, I didn't have an iPhone until 2016, and then I joined Instagram on February 15th, 2017. Now I got like 13,000 followers, which isn't like mega crazy, but I probably sold $500,000 worth of workshops. So I probably have the best earnings per follower statistic on Instagram. That's what Bedros Koulian, my business partner, he says. He calls me the king of EPF. You know, it used to be EPCs and stuff. Now it's EPF. So what I figured out was by accident was I posted a picture of people who had come to one of my workshops. It was like April, so a couple months into using Instagram. And I was sitting in the back of an Uber and I was really bored because I was going from the event to the airport. And then I noticed like a bunch of people liking it. And I was like, you know, that person really belongs at a workshop. So I just sent them a direct message and I said, "Hey, you know, hope to see you at a workshop soon." And then they sent me a message back and said, "Well, when is your next one?" And I sent them the dates and the link to sign up. And they signed up and I was like, "Oh, I just made $5,000 in the back of an Uber. There's something to this." And so then it was playing around with it, with the direct messages and figuring out how stories worked and figuring out that you need to use the fact that Instagram is trying to make you addicted to Instagram. You need to use that for your own purposes. So Joe Polish used this phrase that I really love and I kind of steal all the time. It says, "Use social media, but don't let social media be used on you." And so I took it a step further and I said, "Well, I'm not even going to use social media. I'm only going to use business media." So that's what I call Instagram. Instagram to me is business media. I don't do anything personal related on it. I do post personality based stuff, but you know, I don't go on there to see what my cousin's doing or anything.
Right.
I only use it for business purposes, like I use my email list. And so I started making the stories and realized like, hey, Instagram's working really hard to make people addicted to stories. So let's try and, you know, get people interested, deliver good content, catch their attention, deliver good content, and make a call to action. So hopefully anybody listening might have made that connection and went, "Well, that's what email marketing is." And so I figured this out. I had like this revelation in the airport and gosh, I can't remember what city. Oh, maybe it was Charlotte, North Carolina. I was like standing there and I was making a story and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is just email marketing." And so now I make these 90-second stories, and I cut them. I cut the stories into 15-second clips because that's all you can make in your stories or use in your Instagram stories for people that don't know about it. And it's an app called Cut Story. So I use that, and I try and keep the messages to about 90 seconds. Sometimes they're a minute, sometimes they're 2 minutes. And then I use the same system that I would use in an email. So the first 15-second story is like a subject line, and like the first, you know, line of the email that gets curiosity based. So, you know, I would talk for 14 seconds and kind of leave them on a cliffhanger about what I was going to teach them. And then in the next story, then I would start teaching them. And I teach them for about 45 seconds, a really good tip. Like today, for example, I did something on a referral script. I actually walked out a, you know, 30-second referral script that anybody could use in a real world business or in an online business to get more clients, showing the end user that having more referrals in your business is actually beneficial to them. So I finished that up with a call to action, just like an email, right? Subject line, a little bit of an opener, some teaching, you know, you've earned the right to make an ask. Mm-hmm. And then you say, hey, if you like this, you know, grab this course or whatever. For me, I just say, hey, if you, you know, if this was helpful, you know, if that's what I taught you in 90 seconds here, imagine a full day together working at one of my workshops, just send me a direct message and, you know, we'll get the conversation going. So that's what I was doing for a long time. And that's basically how it works. I do a little bit of swipe up stuff, but because now I have over 10,000 followers, but nothing works well for me as the direct messaging. Sometimes I sell my book and stuff on there, but most of the time I just want to get people engaged in a conversation. Sometimes I get on the phone with people after they have, you know, we've done a little bit of conversation. So I got a couple phone calls today that have resulted from those direct messages. Mm-hmm. But One of the things I did back in the day when I was emailing forever, I'm one of those like spreadsheet nerds. And so in my fitness business, I was sending an email every single day, and I would track open rates and click-throughs and sales and all this stuff. And I had this spreadsheet that has like 5,000 entries in it. And I just started this similar one for my Instagram story. So I'll have the date, the number of followers that I have when I make the story, the number of the theme of the story, and then how many people responded to it, how many people bought from that one specifically.
That's a good idea.
And I also track how many people watched each specific slide. So obviously, you know, if I get about 1,500 people watching the first slide right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're not going to get 1,500 people watching the sixth one. There's going to be drop off. So sure. I see like, oh, hey, wait a minute. This one had massive drop off. I need to, you know, what did I do in this story that had massive drop off? Or what did I do in this one that resulted in, you know, 8 direct messages instead of my regular 4 direct messages? Or this one had 8 direct messages, but 0 sales, whereas this one had 4 direct messages and 2 sales. So now I can just kind of figure things out instead of flying blind as I was previously when I wasn't thinking, when I was just making the stories and like not connecting when the direct messages came in. So it's very, very direct marketing based. Mm-hmm. In terms of, I mean, it's the best that you can do, I think, with the system that I've set up. And now I'm instituting Instagram Lives every day as well. And I'm seeing my story go up since I started my Instagram Lives about 4 weeks ago, where I do one every single day. And then that one also generates leads and direct messages for the workshop. So it's all very, very interesting. And I call this Instagram's golden age right now because Facebook hasn't screwed it up yet. And, you know, I don't know if they will. You see like the ads starting to creep in more and more and more, and some of the other stuff and some of the changes coming along. But right now it's still a great medium because in addition to the stories, in addition to the main feed, you also can really get in touch with people that have large followings. And for some reason, you know, someone with 600,000 followers is replying to my direct message or, you know, commenting when I tag them. And it's like, that's really weird. But a lot of people that are influencer levels are still getting back to you, even though they probably are doing this for like 100 people a day. And it's either because Instagram has them so addicted or they're just so novel to them right now. Mm-hmm. And so that's another reason why I think it's a golden age for it. It's not going to last forever, but this is a great place for it right now.
Now I want to come back to where you're tracking the success of your stories, but just what you just said there is, I think, is a great, great point. So you are a prolific, I hate the word, but networker. Like, you are great about making connections and just meeting new people and stuff like that. So you are still using DM, Instagram DM, to connect with people. Is that what I'm hearing?
A little bit, yeah. And I mean, I am a prolific networker. And I think there's a couple of points I want to make on that is that I am naturally introverted. So I have introverted tendencies. I no longer call myself an introvert, because that's to put yourself in a box, and putting yourself in a box with labels doesn't serve you. Yep. So I have introverted tendencies, but I do a lot of networking in an introverted way, through email, through text messages, through direct messages. I still get way outside my comfort zone and go to live events and talk to people. I have rules. I have things, that exercises that increase my extrovert muscle, if there is such a thing, such as I never use a phone in an elevator, and I talk to every single person that comes in there, which is excruciatingly painful, but it is something that has benefited me in a lot of ways. So, you know, to circle all the way back, I work really hard to get connected with interesting people, is what I call them, mm-hmm. People that have fascinating stories or whatever. And so I've been able to do that pretty well through all the methods that I've employed. And, you know, I look up to Joe Polish as a guy who is, you know, one of the most connected men I've ever met. And, you know, he has a good life because of it. And you serve a lot of people and help a lot of people. And I love, you know, I send books to people all the time. That's another way that I start the networking. You know, I sent 5 copies of some guy's book to 5 different people this week because I thought it would benefit them. So I do that, Rick, to your point. And I use the direct messaging a little bit, but the place that I get things started is, for example, Tim Grover, who wrote the book Relentless, he's going to speak at my event in November, the Perfect Life Retreat. You know, just actually had a call with him today to sign him up for that. And I started tagging him because I've bought dozens of copies of his books for people. And I would tag it because people would take a picture of the book and the message from me, and then they'd post it. And then I would take a picture of it and post it and tag Tim Grover, and he would get back to me. And so, you know, that was one of the reasons that I ended up hiring him. So, you know, just a note to everybody, you know, if people tag you, give them a little love back, because you never know, he might be worth $25,000 to you in terms of speaking fees. So, you know, I just started doing that. And then when people would get back to you on that, then you can do a couple of words. Like, you know, you're not going to go like, hey, let's hang out. Let me pick your brain over coffee.
Right.
You know, don't ever do that. Don't ever use those phrases. So I didn't do that, but I would just be like, hey, you know, I really appreciate your book. It helps me, because every single day when I'm feeling down, I didn't make a sale the day before, I get fired up. I read 3 pages of Relentless. And, you know, the next thing you know, I'm in like selling mode. This is awesome. So thank you for writing your book. And you start off that way. And then another thing that I do, Rick, is I send my book and my kit to so many people. So
yep.
That is an amazing benefit of having a book, is being able to send it with a note. Or, you know, for us, we have something that's even better than a book, which is the kit and all the work tools and the gratitude journal and stuff. So when that shows up, you catch a lot of people's attention, and it's a great calling card to have. So it's just, you know, ways like that, because I'm not a natural schmoozer. And so I need a way to show up differently in advance of going to an event where you and I might be at the same place.
Yeah.
And if I just went to the event and didn't have the position of strength or the introduction or the calling card, chances are I'm just going to hang out in the corner and not approach somebody. So I kind of like use these things as crutches. I use them to like open up the dialogue so that at least, you know, we get past those first couple of lines of awkwardness, and we can at least talk about something.
Totally.
Because yeah. I'm just not great at that. And so I recognize my disadvantages and figured out how can I overcome them.
Got it. Now I want to go back to,
hey, I'll tell you one thing that's actually kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Is that during this podcast, my eyes are closed most of the time, because I talk better when my eyes are closed. That's how like oddly introverted I am.
Oh, really? Interesting. And we're not even on video.
No. If we were on video, I'd have to have my eyes open, and my answers might not be as good.
Interesting.
I know. I need to go to like all those restaurants where you like dine in the dark.
That is a cool little, like, you know, I would never have guessed that we're talking that your eyes closed.
Yeah, it's like if my eyes are closed, all of a sudden the words, the ideas, they just come out. It's almost like writing, I think. It's
interesting.
It's really weird. I've never met anybody else who has admitted the same thing, so I might be one of them here.
This is the first I've heard this, so I appreciate you sharing that. Well, we're gonna go down that topic here in just a second, but before we do, I want to kind of tie up the Instagram part there. So two things that you said. Number one is that you're tracking, you've gotten into tracking like with a spreadsheet with your Instagram stories. And yeah. You mentioned like, look, if I see a drop off, you know, you get to look, you know, you have some insight now. You have, you know, like, look, I'm tracking this. I get to see what's going on there. If you have six different, say 15 second, let's call them panels, if you will, within the story.
Sure.
How are you kind of taking a note about what you're talking about throughout the story, or how are you getting granular on that and noticing like, hey, there's a drop off here. I wonder what happened.
Well, the one thing that I do, and I can't figure things out exactly like if it was a slide or there's the topic in general. But one thing I do is I don't just put up the videos. I coach people like every single slide you put up, make sure that you put a caption in it, because I actually did survey, and I always put polls in my stories too. So at least one poll, sometimes two or three, just to, you know, get more information out of people and get them engaged. So, you know, hopefully they stick with it longer. And I polled people one time. I said, do you scroll through stories with the sound off or sound on? Do you actually listen to it? And I was surprised that 75% of people actually said they listened to the story. Oh. And we, you know, I usually get about 100 people replying. So it's not like I'm just getting 10 people.
Sure.
But at the same time, I want to make sure that even if somebody doesn't like the content, that there's some reason for them to, you know, look at the panel. And so I'll put a quote, you know, some type of, I want to make sure people get value out of every single panel, whether it's polling, whether, you know, they get to interact with it, or whether it's like, you know, I don't like this story, but I can go and find a Tony Robbins quote that is related to the story. And, you know, at the very worst, like, you know what, at least I got that Tony Robbins quote out of this story. So I will, you know, I'll type it up and put it in the panel. And so I've learned, you know, make sure you have plenty of room above your head when you're taking your selfie video. Mm. Otherwise, you have no place to put the quote. It just like goes over your face or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, I learned that along the way. But I put a little caption in each one. So even if someone just scrolled through it, like, you know, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second for all six of the panels, they'd at least get the idea of the message. And so maybe they don't have to listen to it in order to be like, hey, this is good. And so that's another little thing that I do. And then, but the most of the thing that I'm looking for, Rick, is what's the real end result? Because, you know, I'm not doing this just to get statistics. I'm doing this to get sales. And so it's like, how many people actually responded to this today? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how many people were really good qualified applicants who responded? So at the end, so if I do a six panel story, at the end, I'll say, send me a direct message. And then after that, I'll even do a couple of things in addition to it. So I'll post a screenshot of a success story. If somebody sends me an email and says, hey, Craig, I used your Instagram story formula and, you know, we got four nutrition coaching clients at $300 today. So it's basically, you know, a $1,200 day. Thanks so much. I'll say, hey, can you send me that in an Instagram direct message so that I can screenshot it and put it at the end of my story as social proof? So now we get the testimonials in there. I try and do one a day related to this story. And then after that, I put a slide with, here are the dates of all my next events. And I've got lots of them because they're all based around my travel.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, direct message me if one of these fits you. So you have to make sure that people know what they otherwise don't know. And what that means is if you're trying to sell something, but you don't have a strong call to action, or you don't make it clear and they didn't listen to you, then they might not even know that you tried to sell them something, or you tried to get them to take action, or you encourage engagement in some way. So but you always have to be very, very blunt about it. And the thing I love about stories is they disappear. And I think that was one of the things that encouraged me to do it. Whereas I don't do a lot, I do Instagram lives, but I don't like doing Facebook lives because, you know, if you publish it, it doesn't disappear. But even if you publish your Instagram live, it does disappear.
Yep.
And so there's a whole lot more room for error, and there's a whole lot less stress when you know, like, you know what, this thing will be gone in 24 hours from now.
Sure,
so I always tell people, like, if you do an Instagram audit of somebody's feed, 90% of the stuff they post on their feed really belongs in their stories. It's kind of like throwaway stuff that belongs in your stories, stuff that you're not going to be like, oh, that was kind of embarrassing to have posted that. Right. So, you know, what you eat, all that junk, that belongs to the story. And you do a great job, Rick. I like your stories.
Oh, thanks,
you got your green juice. You're walking down the street. You're dropping some knowledge.
Yeah.
You do a great job of that. And most people need to realize the big difference between stories and feeds and how they can be used. But one last thing in terms of statistics is you can expect about 10, let's just won't even give it a range. We'll just say about 10% of the people that follow you will watch your stories.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that to be pretty accurate for me as well.
Yeah. I think some people I know I bet Amanda Bucci has a higher percent, but yeah. Most people are going to get around 10%. I find that on Sundays and Mondays, I get higher views, but that's every other day, it's around 10%.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned the Instagram Live. How are you are you treating that differently than you would, say, like a 90-second Instagram story?
Yeah. So in my Instagram Lives, which I just started 4 weeks ago, and it was kind of like one of these challenges where I'm like, I'm just going to do an Instagram Live every day. I don't tell people when I'm going to do it because I don't know when I'm going to do it. And I just go and I take some content and I tell people this is my little formula that I teach people, like prepare for 10 minutes, you know, have 3 to 5 bullet points and then go and do it. Now, here's the thing that I started doing that a few people said, like, I've never seen this before. And I started using PowerPoint slides. But where I would – so I would be talking – I actually started out with viewing the PowerPoint slide, and I make sure that the title slide is really compelling. It's like today's was how to get way more time so that you can live the life of your dreams. And so when somebody clicks onto my story, that's the first thing they see. They don't see me rambling on for 30 seconds welcoming everybody. Mm-hmm. They just see me saying, hey, this is what we're going to talk about tonight. And it gets more people into watching the story. And then what I'll do is I'll flip back between my talking head and the next PowerPoint slide. So, you know, most people aren't doing that. They're just kind of like talking themselves or maybe in front of a whiteboard. But I would just flip back and forth because you can do that with your iPhone. And you flip back and forth and now you've kind of got this interactive thing. So if people don't want to look at you, they can see the slide, or, you know, you can use the slide to enhance the presentation. So I say make about 3 to 5 slides, have a really compelling title slide, and then, you know, aim for about 10 minutes. And if you're like me, once I get wound up and I start talking, I can pretty much ramble on for a long, long time. And then, you know, when people are coming on, you welcome them. I call it the call in with Craig show, because I keep on asking people where they're calling in from.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is Instagram. They're not calling in, but I keep on saying that. So I made it a bit of a joke. And then, you know, you recognize people and you get your regulars. Now, the thing is, hardly anybody's going to watch this live. So I get about 1,000 people watching total replays, but only at one time. I think the most I've ever had on is 35 people. And when I started, there was only about 10 people on at one time.
Yeah.
Collectively, there's about 85 to 100 people that will watch my 10-minute Instagram Live, but it's all about the replay. So, it's up for the next 24 hours. Now, that's because I'm doing it this way. If I was, you know, going to make a big deal about it and I wanted somebody to be on for the 30-minute Instagram Live where I was going to, you know, pitch something at the end or something, then obviously I would post it on my main feed. I would send an email about it. I would do a lot of things to drive viewership. But right now, that's what I'm experiencing with the lives that I do, is they're random because, again, I don't know when I'm going to be feeling up to it, but I'm going to do it. I don't know, like, you know, what time my dinner is going to be. And I just don't want to like be like, oh, I got to, you know, cut things short and go and do this Instagram Live at 7 o'clock.
Sure.
So I'm just like, do it whenever. And, you know, eventually I'll maybe structure things a little bit more, but right now it's just, it works great. People jump on. I've got a lot of the same people on there. So the people are really becoming regular to it. Ideally you would do it. You'd be like a television show, you know, it's like whatever, you know, Cheers used to be on at 9 o'clock on Thursday night, Eastern Standard Time. For a kid like me, when I was growing up, you know, every Thursday you knew the Cheers was going to be on. And, you know, we're kind of, even the younger generations are still pretty, you know, dialed in on that. They're pretty trained for that to be the same, but definitely the, you know, people my age around 40 years old. So if you could do that where people know are like, oh, Tuesday at 2, that's Rick's live stream. I got to go and, you know, check it out.
Yep.
That would be great too. But that, I mean, that's like minor details, I think.
Sure.
And then so it's structured a little bit different. It's longer than the 90 second one. Some days I do Q&A, try and get more Q&A in. I'm actually going to start doing some Instagram audit ones. I'm going to try and figure out if I can like do a live audit of somebody's account and like teach through that. And then sometimes I do productivity stuff, and then sometimes I do sales stuff. And you know, I just always make it super valuable and take questions at the end and then direct them somewhere to direct message me and keep the conversation going. And so usually one of those leads to a pretty strong candidate for the program. And when it's $5,000, you know, for the investment in the workshop and the 12 months of coaching and follow up after, it's worth doing a 10-minute Instagram.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
I want to kind of
one more thing is I will say I have learned a lot from Grant Cardone. I will say if anybody who has taught me the most through observation, it's Cardone. I mean, that guy is a sales machine. I have never seen anybody sell an event on the second day of the event, but he had a sales boot camp and it was the Saturday morning, day two of the 3-day event. Mm-hmm. And he was on Instagram saying, "Hey, listen, if, you know, you can still come to the event, you know, here's how to buy your ticket." And I thought, this is awesome, because I originally mentioned to Bedros, like, "Hey, man, he's still selling up to like the night before the event. That's pretty hardcore."
Yeah.
But then he stepped it up and he was selling it on day two of the event, which is amazing.
While the event's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's, you know, he does great stories and he incorporates personality. He's relentless about it. He's got tons and tons of panels in his stories. He probably has like 20 right now, and he's entertaining, but also he knows how to convince and persuade you. So he's doing a great job on Instagram, and I get a lot of ideas from watching what he does.
Interesting. Okay. I'll check his, I don't think I'm following him on Instagram, so I'll definitely check his stuff out. I want to kind of, as we start to wind down here, I want to kind of shift into a different topic. And I'm on your newsletter. So you send out a couple of different newsletters each month. And in a recent one that you sent out, you talked about how so many entrepreneurs are afraid to be real and talk about the whole mental health side of running a business, things like anxiety and depression and stuff that you were talking about earlier. Now, this is something I can completely relate with. I recently shared on Amy Porterfield's podcast about my own issues with anxiety and worry and stuff like that. Can you talk a little bit more about this and why you've really made it your kind of life's mission to help people, you know, who are dealing with this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I had severe anxiety back in 2006. Went to the emergency room a couple times, and it's probably because I was wound up pretty tight and, you know, an introverted type person, didn't talk the problems out. And then also probably because I had that paradox of freedom where I worked too much and, you know, I drank too much and then too much caffeine during the day. And, you know, even though I was a young, healthy guy, it just kind of caught up to me. So over the years, coaching so many people, I get these text messages, I get these Facebook messages from people in the emergency room, and they say, "Oh my gosh, Craig, now I know what you were describing in your book and, you know, in your speeches and stuff." So I'm kind of like this go-to person for when somebody's in that position, and I'm happy to help them, you know, kind of walk and talk them through it. And I'm actually writing another book with Tucker's company right now about overcoming anxiety, and should have that one out in time for my event in November. But what I've realized is even at the highest levels, and it might even be more popular at the, you know, more common at the higher levels of entrepreneurship, is that there's a general this is never good enough approach or belief. High performing entrepreneurs are never satisfied. Like, so many of them come in and say, "You know, when I win, I don't celebrate. I just, you know, go to the next thing, and I only, you know, get emotional if I lose." And it's very, very common. You know, we are wired a different way as an entrepreneur. And so I just want to make sure, like, I don't want to take that edge off people, but I want to be able to help people navigate that area of depression and anxiety. And Mark Ford, my mentor, suffers significant depression. Like, people say, "Oh, I'm feeling kind of depressed today." Mark's had it where, you know, he couldn't leave the house for days. And he actually wrote an article for Early Rise just recently, this past year, a brand new article about, he has this scale of depression where most people at worst, they get where 10, you're normal, and 2, you can't leave the house. And most people at worst, they get to about a 6 or 7. And this is from a guy who knows, because he's gone through it for years and years and years. And my wealthiest client also suffers from depression. And, you know, whether it drives us or whether it's part and parcel or whether it's just a coincidence that they have it, it is very, very common. And so I see it. I want people out there to understand that they are not a bad person because they have it. They're not alone. It's very, very common. And I want people, I encourage people to get out of their own heads, because that's the only way that you're going to find some relief from it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I needed to do. I needed to talk it out. You just need to stop letting the wheel spin. If you're making the gears grind harder in your head, things are only going to get worse. And that happens when you go it alone, or when you start self-medicating with alcohol or something else. That's the worst thing to do. And so it's go the opposite way. And you know, the vulnerability thing is kind of picking up speed. It has for several years, but some of the tougher guys need to embrace it. You know, Bedros has talked about his anxiety attacks for a long time. He went to a therapist for a long time. I've gone and worked with Sean Stevenson, the 3-foot giant, the great motivational speaker mm-hmm. that many people probably know. Yep. And you just got to get it out of your head, because if you keep it up in your head and bottled up, it's going to find a way out in a way that you are not going to like.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to come back to your book there, because I actually didn't know that you were writing a new book until I read your newsletter. So I'm really excited about that.
That one's been, I thought with the first one, I figured out how to write a book, and because the first one only took me 3 years. This one, I had all the content out, but then realized it was way too much of a wussy book. It was just like, you know, kind of like, let's hold hands and get rid of anxiety, which is not how I did it. So mm-hmm. I've gone back and put a lot of my workshop stuff is in there. So, you know, you've seen the exercises.
Yeah.
And people will see, oh, I see how he basically unclutters all this stuff in my head and removes anxiety that way. So it's both the self-care aspect and the get outside of your own head, but also the overcoming anxiety as an entrepreneur side of things. So I'm super stoked to get that out in the next couple of months.
So the title of it is, and I don't know if this is a working title or what, but it's Unstoppable: How to Get Through Hell, Overcome Anxiety, and Dominate in Business and in Life. Is that true?
That is true, unless my editor makes me take out the second "in" at the end where it says "in business and in life." Okay. I think it's down to just "in business and life," but I don't know. Maybe I'm running out of space on the book cover, but yeah, that's what it is now. It originally, like the touchy feely version was called Overcoming the Black Box of Anxiety, because most people who have anxiety, mm-hmm. it's a black box to them, and it's a black box to everybody else. So like, you don't know what the heck is going on, and you can't describe it to yourself, but you can't describe it to the person across the table who you're saying, man, I'm really, really freaking out right now. And they look at you and they go like, you look totally normal. What's up with that?
Right. Right.
So it's a black box to everybody, which is an analogy that I would certainly still use.
Cool. One final question for you. And I want to ask you to sum this up. Like, what's your biggest tip? Okay. So how can entrepreneurs become more productive in their day? What would be, if you could say like one tip, what would that be?
It's to be meticulous about your planning the night before. So the more I work with high performing entrepreneurs, you know, you wake up and there's a million things that you could do. There's a million people trying to get your attention. But if you do your planning the night before and have a very detailed priority list of, you know, 1 to 3 things, but then not only that, that's where most people stop, and that's good. But if most people stop at making their to-do list the night before, mm-hmm. it still leaves a room for error. And so if you meticulously plan, you take a look at that number one priority, and you meticulously plan some action steps for it, so that when you wake up in the morning or when you get to the office in the morning and you go to work on that number one thing, it's easier for you to get into it. And so I've experienced this because I'm a writer. And if I wake up, or if I have my to-do list, Rick, that says, hey, tomorrow morning, I'm going to write a chapter for my book. Great. Then at early in the morning when I start working and I open up my computer and there's a blank screen there, it doesn't matter how, you know, the great intentions I had of writing this chapter, that sure. it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And so, but if I had made 5 bullet points the night before, like, you know, write about this, answer this question, you know, make sure to sum it up here. Now I only have to write 300 words 5 times. That's a whole lot easier. And another analogy would be, you know, setting your exercise clothes out beside the bed. Or if you want to do Bible study or something, make sure your Bible is open to the thing you want to study. And so it's just whatever you want to do first thing in the morning and you find yourself getting distracted or procrastinating on it, make it as easy as possible by doing the work the night before. So half begun is half done, the old saying is, and that is what I'm seeing. Like, you know, I'm taking a high performer to like the next level with that tip. It's not like, you know, someone's totally checking their email first thing in the morning. Sure. I mean, that person needs a lot more help, but it used to be make sure you're doing your to-do list the night before, because if you do your to-do list in the morning, you're already too late. Now it's that meticulous planning to make the path smoother.
Get it started the night before. That way you can jump into it much more quickly in the morning.
And also, and this is a bit woo-woo for me, is I totally believe in the Dan Kennedy idea that your subconscious does the work at night. So if you are very meticulously planned about what to do the next morning and you go to bed, I think your brain's going to come up with some answers and make the job even easier the next morning. Because I've done that with some of my articles where they just poured out of me like 1,000 words in 30 minutes. And that's, you know, pretty darn quick.
Yeah, that's awesome. This has been amazing. We covered a lot of different stuff. I warned you before coming in that we were going to talk about a lot of different things. I want to make sure that people can connect with you. And we've got lots of different ways, obviously on Instagram. What's your Instagram handle?
Real Craig Ballantyne.
Okay, cool. Real Craig Ballantyne. And I'll link it up in the show notes for the episode. Also, you have your Perfect Day Formula book and a new book coming out. What's the best place for people to connect with you and learn more about everything you've got going on?
Well, they can grab a free copy of the Perfect Day Formula at freeperfectdaybook.com, just a little shipping and handling. And then we can check out, they can check out our free content at earlytorise.com. We're publishing great stuff 4 days a week. Now we go Monday through Thursday. We've got, you know, I publish my stuff every Monday, which is a lot of productivity and sales stuff. And then we get other great contributors as well. So that's the best place for me. Oh, and then, you know what? Everyone should check out the Empire podcast that I do with Bedros Koulian. It's empirepodcast.com. And it's really, really awesome. We get to, it's usually just me and him, but we also have some great guests. And then we have like Ed Milet, has watched every episode. And Ed Milet is like a multi-millionaire with hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram. And he watches every episode and says it's gold. So everyone should check that out too at empirepodcast.com.
Yeah, I agree. That's on my short list of shows that I listen to every week. So
cool.
Definitely Thanks. Agree with that. So Craig, thank you so much for coming on to the show today. Really appreciate it, man.
Cool. And now I can open my eyes.
Open those eyes. All right. Hope you took a lot away from this session here with Craig today. Now, before we wrap up, I want you to become a Facebook ads superhero. And that starts with knowing what your Facebook ads superpower is. And so to determine that, I've put together a fun short quiz for you. It'll literally take you like 30 seconds that will help you find your particular superhero superpower when it comes to Facebook ads. And then once we determine it, I give you a step-by-step plan for how you can best take advantage of your superpower to more quickly get better results with your ads and in your business. So to take the quiz, just go over to rickmulready.com/quiz. And I'd love to hear what your results are after you take the quiz. So shoot me a message on Facebook or Instagram at Rick Mulready. But put together, I'm really excited about this quiz. We've been working on it for a little while and really excited to introduce it to you to figure out what your specific Facebook ads superhero superpower is. So again, the link is rickmulready.com/quiz. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. I really appreciate it. If you are enjoying the show and you'd like to support it, please share it with someone that you think will find it helpful. And if you've not yet left an honest rating and review for the show over on iTunes, I'd really appreciate you doing that. It's a huge help and only takes a second to do it. Thanks so much in advance for doing those things. Really appreciate it. And thank you again for listening to the show today. I really appreciate it. I've got another awesome episode coming your way in episode number 194. So until then, my friends, and as always, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry. There's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.